It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And we would greatly appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. We've got a great show planned again for you today. We'll be going through just a few headlines during the first segment. And then we'll also be talking with Larry Bragg. He is a candidate for Colorado House District 9. And my friends, when Reagan back in 1964 said, "We are at a time for choosing," we are at a time for choosing. We are choosing between those elected representatives that value the individual, the freedom of the individual, that they have are able to go after their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness. And this belief that all men are created equal and that each of us are individuals. And what comes out of that is creativity, innovation, prosperity, thriving. The other side of the coin, and we are seeing it with great clarity, is divisiveness, looking at individuals as groups. And so you can't rise above that group. It's kind of like the caste system in India. And the destruction and the defacement of property. And so if we have never had a clearer choice, then we're going to have this November. I want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Listeners, I so value you. I love hearing from you. And you have a purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Producer Steve, we are at a time for choosing.
Well, I was just thinking, you talked about divisiveness, and I'm thinking, I guess to a degree, there's always been issues with the culture, the populace, the electorate being divided. But my first thought is always to go to the great divider, and that was our previous president. And I don't know, you know better than I, was that a Saul Alinsky tactic in terms of division?
Definitely.
So.
Definitely. So a time for choosing. Do we want individuals to be able to thrive and prosper and create? Or do we want these groups that are going to tear down our country? And the Democrat Party, my friends, is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. And it's important to understand that. And I think I'm hearing more and more kind of under the radar things about this, Steve, that people are not making it real vocal that they don't like what's going on, and I'm hearing this even from Democrats, but they are under the table saying to friends they trust, "I'm going to vote for Trump," and so I think that may be why we're probably going to see another big possible try at shutting us down right before the election is because of that, Steve.
The tactics that are being utilized, either by elected officials themselves or the media, it just speaks to their desperation. And like you said, as each day passes, I think it's 103 days left. The desperation is just—it's palpable. It's tangible. It's like, what can they think of next?
So words really matter, and there's a couple of words that I would challenge you each to start to use. When you hear the word democratic, I think we have affection for the word democratic. Actually, democratic can mean mob rule as well. But I would no longer call those on the left democratic. I would call them Democrats. The other thing you mentioned was elected officials. They are not officials over our lives. They are representatives of the people. And we've let those words get out of hand as well. Now, so today we're going to be talking. We're going to go through some headlines. We'll talk with Larry Bragg, Dr. Jason Lehman, and teacher Tiffany Cox with Lehman Academy of Excellence. And then Julie Kelly, she's a columnist and an author of the book, Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down This President. So it's going to be a great show here. I wanted to get into our quote for today, and this is from Dorothy Lee Sayers. She was an English crime writer and poet. She was also a student of classical and modern languages. She is best known for her Mysteries, a series of novels and short stories set between the First and Second World Wars that feature English aristocrat and amateur sleuth Lord Peter Wimsey. She's also known for her plays, literary criticism, and essays. She was considered, she considered her translation of Dante's Divine Comedy to be her best work. She was born in 1893. She died in 1957. Okay, Steve, hopefully you're ready for this. She said, has it ever struck you as odd or unfortunate that today, when the proportion of literacy is higher than it has ever been, that people should have become susceptible to the influence of advertisement and mass propaganda to an extent hitherto unheard of or unimagined? I find that pretty amazing. Wanted to make one other quick point before we get to Larry Bragg, who is a candidate for House District 9. And I was talking with a researcher, Patty, yesterday, and she was helping me connect some dots. She's had on the outlines that the homelessness encampments here in Denver are growing. And then we see a headline that Mayor Hancock is thinking about turning the Coliseum into a place for homelessness. So why is, so we're going to go to Rudyard Kipling's questions. And those questions are what and why and when and how and where and who. So why is that encampment growing? Okay. Who is in there? Patty had mentioned that she had seen pictures or has been down there. The tents down there are pretty nice. They're not like your, you know, just run over to, you know, one of the big box stores and pick up a tent.
They're the best that George Soros can buy.
So why is that? So why are the camps growing? Why are the tents so nice? And then this is one I hadn't even thought of. Why is the Capitol totally defaced and has had tremendous destruction? But right across, you know, to the west, the city and county buildings of Denver have not been touched. So just think about that for a while. I don't really have the answer yet, but those are really good questions, and we should be asking that. But at this point, I want to get over with Larry Bragg, and he is a candidate for Colorado House District 9. And again, my friends, this is a time for choosing. And so, Larry Bragg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Can you hear me good?
I can. And Larry, you're not a professional politician, are you?
No, far from it. I'm a normal guy from southeast Denver, born in Wyoming, and came down to Denver. Lived here since 1967, grew up on the north side of Denver, and lived through the Vietnam War riots in the streets of Denver and the Corky Gonzalez and the Crusade for Justice movements for the migrant farm worker. Just a normal person that went through Denver Public Schools, graduated from North High School, went on to Metropolitan State College to learn how to fly, and had to leave college to come home and help my mother deal with a drug addiction in our family, heroin. My stepfather was an African American. I'm a 34-year Denver firefighter veteran. I retired in 2018 and worked with thousands of people on the streets of Denver, half of it in Capitol Hill, 14 years in Capitol Hill, solving real problems for real people. And concerned about Denver, because I know what happens in Denver moves statewide. So that prompted me to run for office and risk my reputation, our family's finances, and our way of life. So here I am, Kim, and thank you for having me on KLZ, the most senior radio station in Colorado. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you here. You sound kind of like those that signed the Declaration, their lives and, you know, their fortunes and their sacred honor. But we are at a time for choosing, Larry Bragg. Tell us, what is your district? What area does that encompass?
Southeast Denver, the southern boundary is Bellevue. To the west, it's Colorado Boulevard. To the east, it goes out to Havana, a little beyond to Parker Road. And then north to Mississippi, it's kind of jagged up there. But it's pretty good district, pretty good sized district. And we are heavily, you know, there's a big voting block of Democrats in our district, smaller Republicans. But the ones that I need to influence and I need to convince to look up and see what's going on around them are the people that are undecided, the one unaffiliated voters or the Democrat in name only. I need to convince them to take a look around and see what's happening in Southeast Denver alone and what's happening in downtown Denver. You know, if you're not happy in Southeast Denver with rules that are being forced on you in Southeast Denver, then, you know, you have to examine the leadership that's been in power since 2006. And those policies have brought us where we are today as far as Denver and what's going on in Southeast Denver.
Well, and speaking, we have just a couple of minutes of what's going on in Denver. What do you think about what happened on Sunday down at the Capitol? There was a peaceful protest that was hijacked by those wanting to create mayhem. What's your thoughts or what happened there, Larry?
Oh, I was there. I was scheduled to speak. And my thoughts on it, besides the violence and the what happened to everybody there, totally overrun by a mob that was sponsored by organizations that are living in America and concerned only with tearing down our way of life. And they're called socialists and revolutionaries, but the group that put the mob together sponsored them, the Party for Socialist Liberation. And their online magazine, liberationnews.org, clearly spells out that to destroy the current system, you have to first get rid of the police department because they consider the police to be the watchdogs for the capital elite. And they're not working for the people, but they're oppressing the people. And that's the very opposite of what our police department does. And if you get rid of the police, that service, it affects every other service down the line. You affect the fire department. They can't do their jobs without police, and you affect paramedics. Makes our streets unsafe for everybody, tears everybody down. It does not build anybody up.
And that is really the question that's on the table. Are we going to build people up, or are we going to tear them down? Socialism right. tears people down, and they use force to do it. Or are we going to build people up? Larry Bragg, stay in touch. How can people get more information about you?
I have a website, braggforsafety.com. It's F-O-R. And they can find me on Facebook, Larry Bragg for Colorado, for House District 9 on Facebook. You know, I'm out there, and I hope people really, really take time to examine the way I feel about things. And I hope they support all of our HD candidates.
Well, thank you so much for stepping forward because it is so important. And that last name is spelled B-R-A-I-G. So that's B like in boy, R-A-I-G. Larry, stay in touch.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you very much.
You have a great day. Before we go to break, one of my valued sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They've got these great patios, so there can be all kinds of social distancing. And I was actually over there for lunch. They've got some great lunch specials Monday through Friday. And I had their fish and chips, which I hadn't really thought about that, but that it was just delicious. And so be sure and just treat yourself. We're going to finally start to have some sports. You can't go to the arena or you can't go to the ballpark. But you can go to Hooters Restaurants and watch the games on the big screen TVs. And so for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we know that education is so important. And the classical liberal education, I was actually blessed with a public classical liberal education. And we're going to be talking with two people, Dr. Jason Edwards, who is the principal as well as Tiffany Cox, she's a teacher at Lehman Academy of Excellence in Parker. And you won't want to miss this because it's so important what we're teaching our children. Stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. My two guests during this segment, I'm really excited to talk with them. Tiffany Cox, she is a teacher with Lehman Academy of Excellence here in Parker. And she's a new listener, and she reached out about their curriculum, and I thought this is important that people understand this. So I'm going to introduce each of them, and then we'll talk with them. So Tiffany first, she holds both an elementary and a secondary teaching license, a psychology degree, as well as a master's degree in teaching K-12. She's been a classroom teacher for over 13 years in both public and private school. Tiffany has an insatiable passion for all that is classical learning and teaching entails. So, Tiffany Cox, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. It's great to be here.
And you're a new listener, a relatively new listener to the show, yes?
That's correct. When we were forced to go home and teach from our houses, I ended up starting to listen to your show, and gosh, I listen to it almost every morning now.
Well, great
show.
Great, great. And people, if they're not early risers, they can actually, the show is rebroadcast from 10 to 11 p.m. every night. And then the next day on the website, we have the recap with the podcast. And we are starting a new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast as well. So, Tiffany, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Jason Edwards is joining us as well. He's the principal at Lehman Academy of Excellence, and he taught AP history and coached high school soccer teams for over a decade, first in Sao Paulo, Brazil, then in Colorado. Since then, he has served as an administrator in Douglas County Public Charter Schools for 8 years. He holds a doctorate in educational foundations and leadership from George Fox University in Oregon. He serves as the founding principal of Lehman Academy of Excellence in Parker, Colorado. His passion as a dad, a husband, a shepherd, and an educator is to raise up a generation that will love what is lovely. So, Dr. Jason Edwards, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks, Kim.
So, Jason, let's go to you first. What is a classical liberal education?
I'm excited that you're talking about this and that you see how foundational this is for our country and really for the fabric of society. You know, the way and the classical education to families, you know, to this generation, for their children, it's really a curriculum and an approach to teaching that have both stood the test of time. I tell families we're not interested in experimenting on their children. You know, from kindergarten through eighth grade, that's 9 years where we have them in the public school system. And the metaphor we use is that of a banquet feast. We want to lay forth curriculum and content, what the scholars will learn that is meaningful and that will truly feed their mind. George Washington only had an eighth grade education, but our goal is not to tell them what to think, but how to think, and we do that by allowing them to be the scholars that truly interact with these primary sources. All the subjects are interrelated, and they get to wrestle with it and be the young historians, the young scientists, the young artists on their own. The teacher is probing them with questions and guiding them and helping them to develop a palette for the good, the true, and the beautiful. So ultimately, a classical education will move the scholars to love what is lovely. Another way of saying that is we want to train them so that they will pursue wisdom and virtue for the rest of their lives.
Well, and Tiffany Cox, you have a real passion for this as well. Tell us a little bit about how you arrived here.
Well, I think that I arrived here by going everywhere else first. It's kind of that broken road that led me to home. Being in the education field, it's always changing. It just seems like the pendulum is going from one place to the next place and to the next place. And through a very twisted turn and series of events, I landed in the classical realm of thinking. And once I discovered it, I realized this is what I've been searching for. You know, I was to the point where I was going to leave the field, and I just discovered it, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe, and I cannot learn enough about it because, Kim, it works. It is, my definition of classical education is that it's the cultivation, kind of like Jason Edwards just said there, the cultivation of wisdom and virtue by nourishing the soul on the good, the true, and the beautiful. And one of the things your quote said at the very beginning of your show was about how people are falling prey to the propaganda. And I, you know, there's a great book by C.S. Lewis out there called The Abolition of Man. And one thing that he talks about is that, a quote from him is, we make men without chests and expect from them virtue and enterprise. And boy, right now in our modern education, the neighborhood schools and just your regular old, you know, progressive education, they are turning so far away from the chest, from the good, the true, and the beautiful. And everything has to be measured and tested. And there's so much more to a person than what can be measured and tested necessarily. That virtue, how can you put a number to that? But yet, isn't that what ultimately will show what people can do and what will make them successful? And in successful, we're not even talking necessarily in the utilitarian form of success, having a good job, being in a good college or whatever, but having a good life, being a good person. You know, you can be the very best doctor there is out there, but if you're a jerk, then is that really the best life? We don't want to produce people that are not virtuous and they fall prey to the propaganda and follow this idea and that idea. So coming back home to this timeless, you know, that has lasted forever, all of our founding fathers were classically educated. Some of the greatest people that I admire have been classically educated. And you have to ask why, because there's so much more to a person than just their test score. And I think at Lehman Academy, we really look at, yes, we need to learn knowledge, we need to learn skills, but ultimately, the purpose is to form a person's soul, which can take them into whatever field, whether they're a stay-at-home mom, which I was for 12 years. And I know that took probably the most virtue and character out of me than anything. Or if they're a professional in the working field, that virtue and character of soul is something that we are lacking as in an educational world, and I think it's so important.
Well, I agree with you on that. And Dr. Jason Edwards, I served on city council for 4 years in the town that I live in. And I would see things that this narrative that we need to be educating for the next, you know, the next generation workforce. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't think we're trying to educate for the workforce. I think that we are trying to educate individuals that then go after their hopes and their dreams, and that they make the choices on the workforce. And that was something that's always I've been very concerned about. What's your quick comment on that, Dr. Jason Edwards?
Yeah, I think that's such a valid question, you know, and it's one that we ought to worry about. Benjamin Franklin said, specialization is for ants. And I think it's true that our economy and our society changes so rapidly. And so, I mean, in one sense, we do want to keep an eye to the future. You know, what will it be like for these young adults, college and career age? Will they have the appropriate options? That's a very noble question that we must pay attention to. But I think, you know, the premise of a classical education is that we are equipping these adults becoming Oh, that's just a wonderful phrase from Charlotte Mason, this educator in the late 1800s who were highly influenced by, these are adults becoming, they are whole persons. We want to train them in that liberal arts approach so that they understand, you know, all of the beauty, and they have the ability to synthesize all these different subjects and see how they fit together. And along the way, they have truly grappled with these essential questions, just like someone would be maybe discussing in ancient Greece or in India or in Asia at any other century. And we've trained their minds to be able to put together the world in which they live, to arrive at those root causes and motivations. And so from that strong starting point, that strong foundation, and also a robust body of knowledge that won't always show up on a state test, but it's worthy. It's stood the test of time. It's rooted in history and geography and science and the great books. With those options, they can then truly specialize. You still have college and graduate school for many. And so our premise is truly to focus on the person, their soul, their virtue, and train them as a one who can learn and become wise on their own, knowing that that is truly the best preparation for whatever career they go into.
Okay, and charter schools, my friends, are public schools. And so to get more information about that, I know that typically they like to have a lot of parent engagement. Tiffany Cox, how can people get more information about Lehman Academy of Excellence?
You simply can just Google Lehman Academy of Excellence. We have a school here in Parker off of Parker Road and Stroh. And it goes from K through 8th grade. And there's tours, I believe, every Tuesday. And come and check us out. It's a great place to be. It's a fabulous place to work and very life-giving.
Okay, so that's Lehman Academy of Excellence. Dr. Jason Edwards, thank you.
Thank you.
And Tiffany Cox, thank you so much, and thank you for reaching out to me.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, have a great day. Let's jump over here to Jason McBride. Jason McBride, what kind of a student were you in elementary school? Did we lose him? I had my question all teed up for him.
I'm here. I just didn't hear the question.
Okay. So what kind of a student were you in elementary school?
The best one in the whole class, of course.
Exactly what I thought. And you probably sat on
teachers and ask them.
Yeah, you probably sat on the front row and never got in trouble, right?
What's trouble?
Okay, so I feel somebody's dodging the question here, Steve. What do you think?
I was about to jump in and say, are you buying this?
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. What is going on in the markets? I did not take a look at them yesterday, so surprise me.
Well, it wasn't anything massive, but it was just kind of another steady day. The NASDAQ was up 25 points. That was about 0.25%. The Dow did a little bit better. That was up 165. That was on the strength of some earnings yesterday. This morning, it might be interesting. Tesla came out with better than expected numbers. That stock is up pretty strong this morning. It's making its case to be added to the S&P 500. Microsoft came out with also better than expected earnings, but it's actually down just a little bit before the market. And Chipotle was another big name that reported yesterday, also a bit better than expected, but that stock's also down just a little bit. So sometimes when these things get extended, Kim, even on the good news, the institutions will use the increased volume to lighten up a little bit and take some profits.
And that may be something people individually might want to do as well. Question on Tesla. So you said they're earning, their revenue numbers were better. Did they turn a profit?
Yeah, they actually did turn a profit. They had a profit of $2.18 a share. Now, actually, their revenues went down a little bit. They were about $6 billion versus around $6.3 billion last year. Now, I don't know the total dollar amount of it, Kim, but I know they had a lot of credits. They had some extra items in their earnings. that came from, you know, again, federal credits and a couple of other things. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all organic, as, you know, as the word they would use in this business.
You know, Jason, tomorrow, if you're up for that, I think it would be great if you explained a little bit more about earnings per share. And, you know, just different things that can go into it. And as you mentioned, kind of the more organic, but then there can be, you know, extenuating circumstances on one way or another. I think that might be good for people to understand.
Okay. I will try to think of common things that may distort earnings per share and how you should be able to boil it down to the real story.
Now, since we had the classical Lehman Academy of Excellence on, I'm giving you homework. How's that?
Oh, okay. Well, that's, and you'll see what a good student I really am, and
that's
then you'll
good.
Feel bad for doubting me.
We're going to work that out. So, hey, if you want to talk to Jason or any of the great people over at Presidential Wealth Management, Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Be sure and check out our landing page together. That is airpresidential.com. airpresidential.com. Jason, you won't want to miss our next guest, Julie Kelly. She's written a book called Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. So you won't want to miss it, Jason McBride.
I will not miss it.
Okay, you have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow and find out how you're doing on your homework.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Julie Kelly. You will not want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kimmunson.com as well, and go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Julie Kelly. She is a former political consultant, and she lives in suburban Chicago, and she's a stay-at-home mom. She is a senior contributor to American Greatness. Her past work can be found at The Federalist, National Review, The Hill, and The Wall Street Journal. She has written a book, Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Julie Kelly, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
This sounds pretty fascinating. What, you know, how did you start with the book? What have you found out?
Well, Kim, for the past few years, I've been covering Never Trump, which is this small but very vocal, active group of so-called conservatives and Republicans opposed to the president. So these are people like Bill Kristol, the founder and former editor of the now defunct Weekly Standard, people like Max Boot and Jennifer Rubin, who write for The Washington Post, Jonah Goldberg and David French, who just started their own kind of newsletter blog online to rant about the president and anyone who supports the president. So I detail in my book who these folks are, what they've been up to, and how they've tried and failed so far to take down Donald Trump.
Now, Donald Trump is not a perfect guy. I've said kind of all along, out of the 17 people that were running, he was like my 18th. But I had never really paid attention to, I didn't really know him. And then people that I respected started to say, I think that he would make a good president. I'm kind of like, Okay. And so I started to watch what was going on. And in fact, I got to go to the inauguration when he was inaugurated president. And I thought, this is amazing. Just a regular person like me can be here watching this inauguration. And I heard him say something about, we're going to take power and give it back to the people, we the people. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many attacks on him. What's your perspective on that, Julie?
I think that that's a big part of it, Kim, and I think that's the reason why some of these Never Trumpers, especially the ones who are in the Beltway, longtime Beltway establishment Republicans, party faithful, who are tight with Democrats, they like their rule. They like to, have all of the power, and certainly Donald Trump posed at the time in 2016 the biggest threat to their power. And they still do. And so that's why they want him out of the White House. That's why these Never Trumpers have worked with the Democrats every step of the way, whether it was pumping the bogus collusion hoax, backing Robert Mueller's investigation, while covering up the real scandal, which, as we know, is Russiagate, Pfizagate, Obamagate, whatever you want to call it. And then they were all in on impeachment. Now they're trying to exploit coronavirus and the subsequent crash of the economy, and now the race wars, to pin all of this on Donald Trump and the Republican Party, because they want to make sure both loses power in November, and as they back Joe Biden and the Democrats.
So that moves us over to Patty. My researchers found three different headlines that I find really interesting. The first is from the New York Post. It says, the Lincoln Project founders have ties to Russia and tax troubles, documents reveal. And the founders of the Lincoln Project, which is a headline-grabbing anti-Trump political action committee formed by GOP operatives who describe the president as a crook and a huckster, have their own checkered dealings with Russia and the tax man documents obtained by the Post reveal. Its inception was last November, and it announced that with a blistering New York Times op-ed, the brainchild of George Conway, Steve Schmidt, Rick Wilson, and John Weaver. They've raked in $19.4 million, and they've needled President Trump repeatedly with provocative TV ads. Are you familiar with this group, Julie?
I am, and it's so funny to hear you list those names. What a collection of losers. I mean, first of all, no one would know who George Conway was if his wife didn't work for the White House and he didn't constantly needle her by his attacks on the president. Steve Schmidt, the last time anyone saw him, he was crashing John McCain's presidential campaign in 2008, which, of course, we know he lost. John Weaver is the one who was the Russian lobbyist paid a few $100,000 by a Russian company to lobby. And then Rick Wilson, I talk about in my book. Rick Wilson is another perpetual loser, just kind of this hanger-on. So they are paid well, mostly by the left, as I talk about in my book, too. This Lincoln Project, most of the donations are coming from Democratic donors to give this fake impression that GOP operatives, as you just wrote, which they're not, they haven't operated anything in the Republican Party recently, and to the extent that they have, they've lost. I think John Weaver backed John Kasich's presidential run, which we know what happened there. So they're paid very well to give the media and people, just the public, the fake impression that there are a lot of Republicans who are opposed to the president and want Joe Biden to win in November, which, Kim, as you know, just is not true.
Okay, now, I hadn't connected the dot of George Conway and Kellyanne Conway. I had there, but when I read the name, I hadn't thought, oh, my gosh, that's Kellyanne Conway's husband. Yeah. Just a question. How do you think that marriage works? I mean, I can't figure that one out.
Well, I don't would never talk about someone else's marriage. I don't know. It's a sad situation, I think, for their kids. I know one of their daughters is kind of acting out on social media, so I just feel bad for them as a family. But George Conway George Conway should be ashamed of himself for how he is exploited and his wife's position to get attention for himself in really such an insidious, gross way. And so this is not the first project that George Conway has signed up on. He has signed up on other projects to go against Bill Barr and other people in the Trump administration. So he's just leveraging his wife's name for himself, but obviously in a really destructive way. But this is what Never Trump does. It's really a collection of people that you wouldn't want to be associated with. They've pivoted on every position they used to have, to the extent that they were conservative. And they've helped the left not just go after Trump, but go after anyone associated with him, go after Trump voters, such as evangelicals, David French, who condemns evangelicals every week because they support the president. Like, who are they supposed to support now? Joe Biden and, you know, his Obama pals, the far left wing of the party, which is who will run the White House if Joe Biden wins. And so I go through all of that in my book. So it's important that people know who they are. They're not legitimate conservatives or Republicans. They put on the charade because that's what they're paid to do.
Now, Julie, Donald Trump is not a perfect person. The founders were not perfect people. Men, women, we are imperfect beings. And, you know, certainly there are things that I've done in my life that I would really prefer not be, you know, splashed across all the headlines. But yet imperfect people and the founders, imperfect people can change. They can, you know, strive for high ideals. And I really wish that people would understand that about Trump. I don't like everything about him, but I love the fact that he's been reducing rules and regulations. That's better for everyday hardworking people. I love the fact that he is working to reduce taxes. That's good for everyday hardworking people. I was at the inauguration and I walked away from that and I thought, I think this man has a love for everyday hardworking Americans, no matter what descriptor, no matter what group people want to identify with. I think he sees through those groups. And he sees individuals and he cares deeply about them. And the Never Trumpers, I think, have disdain for everyday hardworking people.
Oh, they definitely do, Kim. And I talk about that in my book as well. And I think that was one of the most revelatory aspects of Trump's presidency, is how many of these policies that a lot of us supported for years, say all of these international trade pacts, how they've impacted middle America. So when you go through trade pacts, when you go through open immigration, and how that's really decimated so many communities, you know, through working or through, you know, the influx of cheap goods that are no longer produced here. So there's a variety of reasons why a lot of, especially neoconservative policies, have been really damaging to average Americans, and they don't care. You know, people like Bill Kristol and his ilk, who I considered myself one, to be honest, they don't care. They didn't care how these policies impacted Americans. This is about power. This is about their nation building, you know, this kind of international, we're all part of, you know, global community, without really realizing all the consequences. And I think Trump really saw that firsthand. And so I talk about those policies, too, in my book. And here's the thing, Kim, they don't have an answer to. So they might criticize the president, say, on his approach to China. But we know that China has gotten away with so many things for years. No one was willing to stand up and confront China except for Trump. But they bashed him for his tariffs. They bashed him for confronting China. But yet they have no alternative solution how to deal with China except just continue to appease them, I suppose. So that's just one example in my book of how they also have no alternative policy agenda to Trump.
Oh, let's continue this conversation. Julie, I'm writing all these questions down and hopefully I can remember them because you've triggered me. You've triggered a lot of questions that I have, Julie. So we're going to go to break. I have on the line with me Julie Kelly. She's written a book, Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Stay tuned because I have a ton of questions I want to ask Julie Kelly.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Julie Kelly. She is the author of Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. Julie Kelly, I've got five things that I'm hoping that I can get through with you on this because you have triggered a number of questions. First thing, you were talking about middle America, average America, and this is this would be like your working middle class, people that had good lives. They went, they worked, they took care of their families, and those jobs disappeared. Remember when Obama said those jobs aren't coming back? And I've been in the ladies' clothing business for many, many years. And a company that I worked with, beautiful company, they had a factory in North Carolina. And they were one of the last companies to close their factory and move overseas. And it decimated that little town. And the reason is, I think, Julie Kelly, is because with rules and regulations and legislation and union activity, we made labor so expensive here that because of the American consumers' demands for value in what they purchase, they value their dollar. If that could be manufactured overseas at a less, you know, a cheaper price, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist that people are going to try to figure that out. So what's your comment on that, Julie?
I think that that's what's been happening, as you just identified one anecdote. I think that's been happening for years, and people have just been ignoring it, not paying attention to it. Our, you know, lawmakers didn't address it in Washington. I think the idea was we'd formulate these trade pacts with people, countries we know don't have America's best interest at heart, which would, of course, be China, at the expense of, yes, yeah, small towns, manufacturing towns across the country. I mean, I'm outside of Chicago, and so you look at what has happened in the industrial Midwest, and so many factories, you know, steel making, you name it, have moved overseas and shuttered here at great expense to communities and families and just individuals who've lost their jobs permanently. And the elites in Washington just didn't care, and they had no solutions to it. So I think that Trump has really exposed that in a way that's opened a lot of people's eyes. It certainly did mine. And that's what the Never Trumpers really resent, because that was part of their agenda for years. And he exposed it not just for the folly that it was, but appeasing people like our enemies and hurting people here.
Okay, so that's point number one. We could expound upon that even more. But the next thing you mentioned, the global community. That, you know, really, and so the next thing I hear is no borders. And that's one of President Trump's thing, is that we have borders. But I find it so interesting that through the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, it's been your blue state governors, your blue state mayors that say people have to have borders. Those borders are you have to stay home. You have to stay home to save a life. So what is it? Is it no borders or borders to lock you up? I find that an interesting correlation. Would love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, it's so amazing to watch these mayors and governors, you know, like Andrew Cuomo and Gavin Newsom, who have sanctuary states where you have illegal immigrants who are not supposed to follow the laws or the rules. If they're caught, they're let go. But yet they want to arrest and fine people for not wearing a face covering. So that's just another way to expose who these folks are. So, yes, I mean, I guess in a way, some kind of order. But you could see just how power hungry these Democrats are and the danger that they pose if Joe Biden wins the White House and the Democrats take the Senate. And so, I think that's why so many people view Donald Trump as a bulwark between us and them, the only bulwark, because we certainly see Republicans in Washington, for the most part, are not standing up to the left either. They don't have the president's back. They haven't had his back. And so I think he's really, you know, for, as you said, all of his flaws, he's really all we've got right now.
Well, and I actually, you look at many of his policies, and he is truly a conservative as much as working to conserve the principles of this American idea. So I'm going to move to the next thing. You mentioned China. Biden has connections with China, Clinton's, the Obamas. And I had on the show a few weeks ago, Josh Phillip, who is with the Epoch Times. I think he does the China report there. And I came away from that interview very hopeful, because Josh said he is hopeful. He said in all of his years of reporting on China, he didn't think that anything would stop their agenda and what they are doing. And he said Trump's policies have been effective, and he's very hopeful about that. So that is probably another reason why all of these Democrats and never Trumpers are trying to take the president down.
That's true. I mean, I talk about this in my book too. When he first announced, you know, the so-called trade war with China, these never Trumpers were apoplectic. I mean, they were, we can't rattle China. They'll retaliate. We will lose. You know, they have so many things to use against us. We can't do that. It was now looking back, especially with what, you know, China has done related to the coronavirus. Looking back, it's just kind of appalling how every step of the way they side with the enemy. And I mean, in this case, China is. And so I think that Trump's approach has worked with China. And I think, again, it has made people realize while Washington was all about Russia, 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 a country that is nowhere near poses the kind of threat that China does, Trump stayed focused on, you know, what the biggest national security threat, commercial threat, et cetera, posed to the country, which is China. And so I think that I talk about in my book, and I think that we keep seeing this, some people are now starting to get on board because the American people are seeing China for the threat that they are. Farmers have seen the threat from China for years. I've talked to farmers who knew what China was doing in the global market to mess with American commodities, and so they're happy to see that. So I think this is all part of the reason that they continue to fight the president, want him out of office. They want to go back to the old days, the common ground days, where we were all, you know, working with even countries that were openly opposed to what we were about, because that's what they were paid to do. And so that is what the threat that Trump poses to them. And that's why they keep working so hard to take him out of office.
Right. And when they win, the everyday person loses. And Trump, again, I really believe that he's standing up for everyday hardworking people. We're going to see this manufacturing come back. And these Democrat governors and mayors that are letting their cities be destroyed, there will be a price that's going to be paid. And I think that price is that people are going to move out of these cities. I think we're going to see a resurgence in rural America. I think we're going to start to see manufacturing come back. And I think it could be an exciting time. The time has gone really quickly, Julie, so I'm going to go to the next headline. And this is from Forbes. It said, at least 37 billionaires made six-figure contributions to committees supporting Joe Biden in the last 3 months. And then there is a list of them. And you know, there's the names that you would expect. There's George Soros and Sean Parker and Tom Steyer and Pat Stryker. But I was really surprised to see Meg Whitman on there. She was a candidate for Senate, a senator in California. I was surprised to see her name on there. We've got just about a minute. So comment quickly on that. And then what's the takeaway you want to have our listeners have today?
The left, the Never Trumpers, and obviously Democrats are heavily funded by a small contingent of extremely wealthy people. Some of the names that you just named, another name is the eBay founder, Pierre Omidyar, who's pouring millions of dollars into these Never Trump projects to give this fake impression about conservatives against Trump. I talk about that in my book. So it's very hard to counteract that kind of money. So the only thing we can really do is expose who's giving that money, tell people who's behind it, and that this is what these people are being paid to do. There's nothing sincere or honest or truthful about any of it. It's really kind of an appalling game that's being played on the American electorate. So to the extent that we can challenge these folks back, that's all we can do is just tell the story about it.
Well, Julie Kelly, what an amazing book, Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. My friends, I'd recommend getting the book so that when you're in conversation with your friends and your family and your colleagues over the next months from now until election time, you can speak intelligently to these things. So, Julie Kelly, thank you so much for joining the show.
Kim, thanks for having me.
And our quote for today is Dorothy L. Sayers. She said, "There's nothing you can't prove if your outlook is only sufficiently limited." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering.